Good morning, good morning, good morning. Feels good in this place already. Amen. Let's see how many of the men are paying attention. Blueberries are on sale. All right, men, you let me down. I already forgot what they taught at men's conference. Women, ask me later, I'll explain it to you. The men didn't do good. It's Mother's Day, so we'll let it slide. Amen. Happy Mother's Day. You may be seated. Love it when you can come into a place and just sing one song and you just automatically feel the presence of God just rush in. Amen. Nothing like that. You can go to some clubs and different places in the world and they can maybe give you a little bit of goosebumps here and there for a few minutes, but there's nothing like the presence of God that just comes in, just sweeps over you, and just no matter what's happened in your life, it just all melts away. Presence of God, it is amazing. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. Last Wednesday, I spoke a little bit. One of the subjects that I taught on was and hit on was love. Remember, I had everybody walk around, tell someone you love them. Well, I'm going to hit you again today. Amen. Someone needs to love somebody today. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer." And then Romans chapter 8, verse 36 through 39 says, "As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen. Just want to talk a little bit this morning that you are not alone. You are not alone. Look at your neighbor and tell him, say, "You're not alone." Amen. Do you believe that this morning, that you're not alone? Are you sitting in this place but you feel alone? Let me just tell you, you're not. You're not alone. You're in a place with like-minded people this morning. Amen? When you look at our world, you can see it on our TVs. You can see it on the magazines everywhere you look, standing in shopping lines. As you're driving down the road, you see it on billboards everywhere. It is very obvious and evident that there's prophecy taking place in our lives. It is happening right in front of our eyes every day. Peter said, "The end of all things is at hand." And events have been set in motion in our world that proclaim that the day of the Lord is very close at hand. Do you believe that? Amen. If you haven't seen that and you don't think that today, you really need to open your eyes and read the scripture because it is happening right in front of us. Amen. The Bible talks about earthquakes in diverse places. Wars and rumors of wars, kingdoms against kingdoms and nations against nations, famines and troubles. Just today, if you go get the Sunday paper, you will find each of those subjects in today's paper alone. Prophecy is right in front of us. It is happening. It is daily being played out in front of us. And it won't be long before Jesus comes back for his chosen church. Amen? Are you excited about that? See, I think a lot of churches, we sort of just miss that sometimes, and we're not excited like we used to be about Jesus coming back. There's churches, they really don't preach it anymore that God is coming back. They just want to make you feel good on Sunday so you can make it the next Sunday. Amen. But I remember growing up, every service, preacher getting up and preaching on heaven and hell, and we were excited. Hey, we want God to come back. We just don't want to go to heaven, but we're ready. We want him to come back now. Amen. And that the world is even worse than it was then. I mean, you're talking about, I'm 35 years old, and it's been over 20 years, you know, from a kid being in that mindset. So even now, even more so, I look at our world like, God, just go ahead. When I just look at some of the stupid that is going on in this world, I'm like, God, just any time, I'm ready for you to come back. I don't want to deal with this no more. I just don't want to take any more of it because it's not what I want. I'm ready. Amen? So the closer we get to his coming, the harder this world is going to fight us. It's going to come against you. It's going to try to destroy you. It's going to take you down every way that it can, any way that it can. But how many believe with me today and this morning that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Amen. Not through just anybody, but through Jesus Christ, we are conquerors. Why? Because he loved us. He died for us. He's already fought those battles, as I said Wednesday night. He's already faced those storms and those trials, the things that we fight against and the things that we're looking at. Jesus is already walking on top of it. Amen. We are conquerors through him that loves us. And so in our text here, Peter gives some insights on how we are to live. Christians in that time when he was writing this, they were being persecuted and they were being killed everywhere. And so it was a time of grief. It was a time where the church was very uncertain about their future here. And Peter, he wrote to the churches warning them to watch and to be sober because persecution, it just may lay at their doorstep. It just may happen to them. It was just a matter of time. And Peter knew it wasn't going to be just not like it was, but it was going to get worse. He wanted them to understand this. And so in preparing themselves, Peter wanted to make sure that they understood that through the trials and through the persecutions that they had someone to look to keep their head straight. Just simply, they wanted to keep their head straight. Don't want them to go crazy. Don't want them to have, you know, thoughts that, you know, just want to run off and go crazy, because we have that, you know, we have that fight or flight syndrome, you know. We get into a situation and we get into problems and we either want to run and hide or we want to stand and fight. And Peter wanted to make sure they understood what was coming so they could be prepared for what was going to come. He wanted them to stay together. He wanted them to not fight amongst each other, but he wanted the church to stay unified. See, we can do a lot of things in this world, and we can fight a lot of battles, but how much more will we be able to be conquerors if we do it together? How much more will we be able to face and overcome if we join arms and be hand in hand together in unity, not separated? Because as good as we may look on the outside, it only takes one little stress for some of us to come unglued, right? So some of us, we can do it. We can look. We look the part. We look like we're strong and everything, but just one little thing happens to us, and we just lose our mind. Amen? Don't raise your hand. I don't want to know who you are. Some of us, we know who you are. We'll pray for you. Amen? But it's like Brother Keith talked about last week. What is your number? Some of us, our number is really high. Some of us, low. I honestly don't know what my number is. Some days, I feel like it's a 2. Some days, I feel like it's 100. It just depends on what the day is, what the circumstance is. Some days, I'm hot. Some days, I'm cold. But we all have that number that he talked about. In 1 Peter 4, and this is verse 8 through 9, says, "And above all things have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling." Amen. Simply put, be nice to each other. Be nice to one another. Don't be trying to stab each other in the back. Don't be trying to get one ahead and on top of the other. Just love each other. Be there for one another. Amen? So my first point there is love one another. And the scripture, Peter is alluding back to Proverbs 17 and 9. I'm going to read it in the Amplified. It says, "He who covers and forgives an offense seeks love. But he who repeats or harps on the matter separates even close friends." And so you have a choice when we're dealing with one another. When someone wrongs you and someone does something that offends you, you have the choice to either harp on them, to make the situation worse, to take gas and throw on top of that fire and make it bigger, or you have the choice to come to them and say, "You know what? I still love you. Regardless of what's happened, I forgive you. We can move past this. I understand. I'm not perfect either." Amen? We should all be able to say that this morning. I'm not perfect either. So we have that option there to either forgive or to be mad and upset and make it worse. But love, it goes a long way. It goes a long way in situations and relationships. Don't hold a grudge against somebody. Amen. If there's someone in this house today that you can't walk up to them and shake their hand and look in their eyes and say, "As a brother, as a sister, I love you," then you really need to get to that person today and make that right. Just plain and simple. You should be able to walk out to anybody inside this sanctuary and shake their hands and say, "Brother, sister, I love you. I truly do love you." Amen, because that's the church. We have to be there for each other. But it's hard to be mad at someone when they shower you with love. I mean, how many of you've been that way? Someone, You're mad and upset at them, and you just want to strangle them, and they come up to you to give you a hug. And, man, I love you. How are you doing today? And you're just like, you don't even know what to say. You don't even know what to do because they're hugging you, and you want to strangle them. Just love, it changes things. It makes a difference in a situation. Just love, showing love. It's hard to be upset when someone goes out of their way to bless you. When you're just thinking about curses, man, I'm just, I wish their tires would go flat on their car. And here they come to church and they bought you a coffee. Hey, man, I just wanted to buy you this today. You end up feeling like the bad person. Kids, they learn very quickly how important and what I love you can do. All the parents say amen, especially the mothers say amen. You want to spank them, you want to ground them, and they come up to you and just give it a sad puppy dog eye and say, I love you. You don't know what to, you just, same thing, you're mad, but now you just, your heart just melts. I know what it's like. Me and my wife, Violet, she's learned very well to get that puppy doll look. That sad look, and some of you have seen it because y'all been giving her money on Sunday morning for food. We're going to have a talk about it. Too much sugar. But we would be trying to discipline her. And the way we do it, if my wife was the one that she disrespected, my wife is the one that has to handle it. If I'm the one that she disrespected, I'm the one that has to handle it. So if my wife is handling her and trying to discipline her and talk to her, and she starts that pouty face, oh, I love you. And inside, we're trying to not let our face show. And my wife is like trying to keep a straight face. And I just get a book or something. I just put over my face because I can't help but smiling. And vice versa, the same with my wife. If Violet does it to me, she's like, I can't look. Because she's smiling and I want to, but I can't. But how easily I love you can change the situation. I mean, it's powerful, just those three words, I love you. Do you really know? Have you told anybody today that you love them? Have you said it to anybody this morning since you've been here, I love you? Amen. If your spouse is here, look at them right now and tell them, I love you. I love you, baby. So Peter, he wanted this church to understand that you're going to go through some hard times. You're going to face some obstacles. It's not going to be all cupcakes and roses. You're going to feel some hurt. You're going to feel some pain. And sometimes you're going to feel like everything is falling apart in your life. It might be that someone doesn't love you the way you think they should love you. Just maybe. But through it all, we still have to love one another, regardless. We don't grumble, we don't complain, we don't push our burdens and your attitude onto someone else. It's easy to wake up in the morning on the wrong side of the bed and the weight of the world is on your shoulders, and that unfortunate person, just they come to you to talk to you and say, hey, how you doing? And man, they just get everything you got. You just lay it out on them. We're all guilty of it. We've been there. But we can't do that. We can't push our burdens. We can't push our hurts, our pains onto someone else and try to make them feel it. But instead, show them love. Peter then said in verse 10, while you're showing them love, says, each one has received a gift. Minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So my second point here is be there for one another. You need to love one another, and you need to be there for one another as the church. See, some of the benefits of having the Holy Ghost is that we've been given spiritual gifts that we can develop in our life. And it's through prayer and fasting, and it's prophecy, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leadership, mercy, words of knowledge and wisdom, faith, healing, miraculous powers of healing, discerning of spirits, gifts of tongues, and praying and interpretation of tongues. Amen. Peter said, don't keep these gifts to yourself. They're not just for you. They're not for you to have in your home and for you to look in the mirror and prophesy to yourself or prophesy to Fluffy on the couch sitting with you. Amen. They are for you to use for the church. Use them for your fellow brothers and your sisters to lift them up and to help them make it all the way. Amen. We have to serve one another. We have to teach one another, because iron that sharpeneth iron. Encourage each other. Speak faith into them. How much different would it be instead of coming and complaining about something in someone's life if you just speak faith into their life? Say, hey, brother, you can make it today. Hey, I'm praying for you, and God is going to make this work for you. If we just speak faith into someone's life, we can pray for them when they need healing. Amen? We have that ability. We're not alone. Say, I'm not alone. I'm going to get it through your head. By the time I get done, you're going to understand you are not alone in this place. So if we don't show these things to each other in the church, where else are we going to find them? Where else are you going to experience them? See, the world isn't going to love you. It will make you think that it loves you. It will put on a good facade and make you think that they are there for you and that they care for you. But when it's all said and done and you're laying in the ditch, the world isn't going to be the one to help you out. It's going to be the church. Amen. The world isn't going to pray for you when you need healing. The church will. The world isn't going to encourage you when your life is going astray, but the church, it will. Amen? That's why the church is so important. It's in the church that you're going to find all the encouragement. It's in the church that you're going to find strength when you are weak. It's in the church you're going to find shelter in the storms. It's all in the church. Amen? We talk about the church being a ship, and we like fellowship. We're fellows in the same ship. Amen. We want to stay together. We want to sail together. If we're together, there's nothing we can't accomplish if we're unified together. Amen. In the church. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, 25 says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Amen. Let me say that again. Let us consider one another. Think about someone else in order to stir up love and good works. You want to have a great church? Think about your neighbor. You want to have revival in your church? Think about the person sitting next to you in the pew. Because when you're thinking about them, say, hey, how can I bless my brother? How can I bless my sister? How can I help them be everything they can be? And they're thinking the same about you. Man, we're going to see some amazing things happen in this church. But we have to lift up one another. We can't do this on our own. It's not just me and myself and me and this church, but it is us together, binding together. Amen. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see today approaching. So even more, the closer we get to God coming back, even more we have to encourage one another. Even more, we have to lift each other up. Even more, we have to be there for someone to lean on. Amen? We are not alone. Amen? Everybody say it. We're not alone. I'm going to get you to believe it this morning. So I love our church because we're active. We love the fellowship. I mean, especially when it comes to food, we love to get together and eat. Amen? I mean, we can solve all problems over food. Big or small, as long as you put some chicken wings in front of us, we can work it out. Amen? We're Pentecostal. But we love the fellowship and we love to get together. But please understand that that is not the purpose of the church, just for us to get together and have a good time. It is not just for us to get together and have a party and say, oh, look at you, you're doing great. Yeah, praise the Lord, I'm with you. But it's about making it to heaven together. And not only making the heaven together, but it's about reaching this world, this lost world together. Amen? That is the purpose of the church. We come to this place and we build each other up and we're here for each other and we make each other stronger so we can go out and we can reach this lost world. Because we can't do it alone. You go out in this lost world by yourself, you're going to get tore up from the floor up, they could say. But if we do it together, there's nothing we can't accomplish. Amen. But we are fulfilling God's commandment, Luke 14 and 23. Go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. That's what it's about, church. We have to love each other. We have to be there for each other. We have to lift each other up and get each other where we need to be so as a church, unified, we can reach this lost world and make it to heaven. Together. Everybody say, together. So we have to show the world that they can get together with friends without all the other issues. Because We can have a good time in church without getting drunk. We can have a great time in church and fellowship without getting high, without getting beat up on Saturday night, without getting shot up at some club. We can have a great time getting together with church people without getting messed up and tore up. Amen. We know how to have fun. Amen. You awake? We know how to have fun. But this is what Jesus says about the world. John 4 and 13 and 14 says, Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. That's talking about the world. You want the world? This is the world. This is the water. This is the world here. If you're drinking from this well, this world, everything this world has to offer, you're going to thirst again. You're going to be thirsty. You're going to stay thirsty. It says, but whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. See, we can be happy in the world sometimes, but we're going to stay thirsty. You can experience some joys in the world and some blessings in the world, but you're going to stay thirsty. You're always going to be craving more because you're never going to achieve what you want. But in the church, through Jesus Christ, through His Word, amen, we can receive all the blessings that will fulfill us. All the dreams that we have, all the things that we want in life, it can be fulfilled through Christ. Amen. It's that well that just keep bubbling up inside of us, that joy. That's why sometimes you don't even know why you're happy. You ever been like that? You've been in a situation, you don't even got a reason to say that you're happy, but you're just happy. It's that joy inside of you, just bubbling up, that living water coming out of you. Amen? Amen? But the only hope for this world is Jesus. And when times get hard, when times get rough, we have to be ready to help those that need help. We got to be able to throw them a lifeline. How are you going to have the strength to throw out a lifeline to somebody if you're not strong yourself? Amen? You might try, you might get halfway there and try to help them and just to end up falling yourself. You got to make sure you're where you need to be. We have to be ready to help those that are in need. Peter goes on to explain that we are going to suffer. We are going to have trials and tribulation. But if we have the right attitude and the right approach, we will glorify God in our sufferings. This is one people love. Through your suffering, you got to have joy. You'll be happy in your suffering. Doesn't really make sense until you really experience it. 1 Peter 4 and 12, 14 says, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. Basically says, don't be surprised that you're going to go through something. Don't get surprised. It's going to happen. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit and the glory of God rest upon you. On their part, He is blasphemed, but on your part, He is glorified. Amen. You're going to go through some stuff, but through what you're going through, if you keep the right attitude, if you keep the right spirit about yourself, and you stay a Christian the way you're supposed to be, you're going to glorify God in it. And not only going to glorify God, but you're going to come out, and when everybody sees you coming out smiling out of it, they're going to be like, man, there's something about that person. When they see you come out of a storm and you're just walking and you got a pep in your step and you got a smile on your face, they're going to be like, how in the world did you come through that? Just I would never be able to make that. Well, you just got your witness right there. You was just able to show Christ to that person because you came through a trial and you were the person that glorified God through your trial. Amen? Amen. My third point is put a smile on your face. Everybody try that. Smile. Come on, show me them white teeth. Amen? Put a smile on your face. I think it was Sister McGuire that I heard says, don't be a fuddy-duddy. Don't be an old fuddy-duddy. It's can't say more than that. Just don't be a fuddy-duddy. I don't even know what it means, but don't be it. I'll be honest with you, I found it hard sometimes to smile and much less be joyful through some of the things I've gone through. It's hard. I will admit it. I'm human. I'm sorry that I broke your perception of me and I'm not perfect. But I find it hard sometimes. It's a tough one. Sometimes I don't want to put a smile on my face. Instead, I really want to cry. Sometimes I don't want to laugh and speak positive. Instead, I want to just go in a room and just scream as loud as I can. That's just the reality of the way I feel sometimes. I don't feel it. But as Christians, we will have things happen to us that will cause us to feel that way. But how you react, that's the difference. People are going to talk about you. You might not get that promotion on your job because you're a Christian, because you don't go out drinking with them after Friday night work. You may not fit in because you don't go out and party with them at the club on the weekend like they want you to. I can't do that. You're separated. We are separated for the cause of Christ. You may not fit in. You may be an outcast in certain places, but if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory of God rests upon you. Amen. There's something to this. There's something for living for God, something that happens in our life. There's a joy unspeakable the Bible talks about when we live for God and we serve Him with all of our heart. Amen? Amen? So we can be glad with exceeding joy because we know God will see us through all the way to the end. See, as Christian, God allows us to go through things to not only help us grow and mature us, but again, to help us be a witness. People are always watching us. People are always paying attention to who you are and what you are doing. Whether it be on your job, whether it be at school, they are looking at you to see what you're going to do. They'll cheat you and they will do something purposely to see what your reaction is going to be. They will rub it, they just want to rub it in your face. That's what they want to do. Because in your mind, oh, they're a good Christian, they're a good Christian. And they see all these good Christians out there that are really fake, and they're just thinking they're probably just another one of those fake Christians. But what happens when we prove to them that we're not? I hope that we're proving to them that we're not. Amen? I hope so. But they're watching us to see if we're going to lose our temper and see if we're going to lose our love that we have. Zechariah 13:9 says, I will bring the one-third through the fire, will refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will answer them. I will say, this is my people. And each one will say, the Lord is my God. Amen. We say it all the time, just the simple calling of His name, and He is there. Amen. God is there for us. If you ever doubt that God is there for you, you need to come and pray. You need to get in the Word. You need to get some love on you, because God is there for us in every situation. Psalms 118:6 says, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Man can try to do a lot of things, but ultimately, we know who is the author and finisher of all things. It is God, and we are in His hands. If we truly, see, the key is belief. You have to believe what this Word says. If you do not believe that God is for us, if you do not believe that God is there for us when we call on His name, it's not going to work. You have to believe it. You have to have faith to say, God, Your Word is true, and I believe it. Amen. So when you know that God is for you, it's a little easier to have joy in your life and to make it through the storm. Romans 8:31 says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, then who can be against us? Amen. I go to a lot of problems and a lot of situations with people, and I think in my head, God, you have this. It doesn't matter what they say. It doesn't matter what they do. I believe what the Word says, and I understand You've got this. You have my back. And it's easier for me to just push it aside sometimes and not let it bother me, because I can just push it on to God. He's got it. I ain't going to worry about it. Whatever happens is going to happen. It's in God's hands. Amen. 2 Timothy 4:7-8 says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing. This is why we have to keep fighting, because again, we want to make it to heaven. We want to make it all the way. Do you want to make it today? Amen. You want to make it to heaven? You want someone to bring someone with you? Amen? We have to do these things. So I'm going to run this race. I'm going to make it to the end. And I'm going to build up and encourage my fellow brothers and sisters, because I don't want them to be left behind either. Together, we can run this race. Together, you can go and you can run a marathon. Some have, I haven't. I'm too out of shape. I'm allergic. I break out in a sweat. My face turns red. I get all itchy. I mean, that's the definition of being allergic. you know, when you look at it. So I haven't done that. But I would imagine that when you're running a race, it'd be a lot easier if you got a partner running it with you, not by yourself, someone to encourage you along the way, someone to look at you and say, hey, we can make it to the end when you hit that half-mile mark, when you hit that three-quarter mark, hey, we're almost there, we can do it. Just someone to build you up and encourage you. Amen? So we need those to help us run on. Remember what Peter said in 4 and 10, says, each one has received a gift, minister to one another. We have to help each other. Be there for each other. So I want to make it to heaven, but I want you to make it with me. How much more fun would the party be if you're there with me? I can have a party by myself in heaven. That's not an issue. But I'm going to enjoy it a lot more if I got some other people to party with me. If I got some other people to enjoy it with me. Amen? We want to do it together as a church. We want to be there one for the other. It says we should continually be praying for unity in our church. See, the quickest way to destroy a church is let unity fade. Get rid of unity. When we think about ourselves and not others, when we look at things as me and my and I instead of us and we have to look at it as each other. We are together as one. The devil, if he can get us bickering back and forth and get us offended at each other, we're never going to make it. It'll destroy us from within, but we have to be unified together. 1 Corinthians 13:1-7 says, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Amen. Without love. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. It says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It does not provoke. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures to the end. Amen. Give me four men real quick. Four men right up here in the front. Come on, four men. Four men. Right here in the front. So together we can finish this race. Together. Key word, together. And you have to get it in your mind and get it in your heart. We are not running alone. You are not alone. Amen. Say, you're not alone. No. You're not facing this world by yourself on your own. We have a church family that is running with you. We have a church family that is going to be there with you through the ups and the downs, over the mountains and through the valleys. And we want to help you not only finish, but we want to make sure that you finish well. Amen. See, it's not enough just to finish, but we want you to finish well. Yes. And when you got one person in the church, and they're out here, they haven't sinned, they're a good church man, they're doing everything they're supposed to be, but they're going through a storm, and no one's there to help them and encourage them, and that devil comes over here and starts messing with them, pushing them around. Just they have a hard time struggling on their self by themselves. They're by themselves. All right. But what happens when this person comes into the church and he gets yoked up with some other men? Come on, join arms, men. He gets yoked up. Get tight. And he's got some other men in the church and he says, hey, brother, I'm here for you. Nothing's going to happen. What happens when the devil comes and tries to get him and moves him?
All right.
What happens when storms of life comes and tries to move him around? He's anchored to something. He's anchored to someone. So you can do everything you can to try to win this race and to be what you need to be in the kingdom of God. But it's when you have somebody running with you and have somebody fighting with you that you're going to be able to stand against those fiery darts. Amen. Thank you, men. Got to get it in your heart. You're not alone. You're not doing this thing alone. You have somebody with you that wants to help you. Amen. We all make up the body of Christ. We are the church together, not singular. Not just one of us, not just me, not just I, but it is you and me. It is us together. It is we. We are the church. We make up the body. Amen. The point that Peter was simply trying to convey in my text that we've read is that we are to make it to the end. And if we are to make it to the end, that we have to love and help one another and bind together in unity. We have to love one another. We have to bind together, be there for each other. Amen. And we have to be unified together, only together. Say, I'm not alone. So what it comes down to is this, church. If you're hurting, guess what? I want to be there with you to help you. I want to help you through that hurt. Don't try to bear it alone on your shoulders because it's going to be too heavy for you to carry. It's not meant for you to carry that burden alone. That's why we had the church. Amen. If you're sad and you're depressed, guess what? I want to be there to lift you up and help you rejoice and find your joy. I want to be there to encourage you and say, hey, we've got this. We can make it together and pick you up and help you finish the race. Amen. If you're weary and tired, I want to be there to be the strength to carry you over that finish line. Throw your arm over my shoulder and I'll help you the rest of the way. That is what the church is. That is what we are as a church. We have to love one another. We have to be there one for another, and we have to be unified. So when we come into this place, amen, we have to look at each other, and we have to say honestly and truly, I love you, my brother. I love you, my sister. I am here for you. Amen. Come on, stand with me. Do you believe it this morning?
Yeah.
See, again, the key is you got to believe it.
All right.
Do you believe it?
Yeah.
Do you love your brothers? Do you love your sisters? Do you understand that you're not alone and that you can make it with the church? You are not alone. Say, I'm not alone. Say, I'm not alone. I have a brother. I have a sister. And they are here for me. Amen. Think about it. Look around. Anybody in this house right now that you can't honestly look them in the eyes and say, I love you, my brother. I love you, my sister. You need to get to them today. You need to hug their neck and say, I love you. Just get the words out. It doesn't matter what has happened. It doesn't matter what you're feeling. Just say the words, I love you. Because those three words can change everything. Those three words can break down walls. It can move mountains. It can do amazing things in your life just saying, I love you. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. God, I thank you, Lord, for your word.